The Best Friend You Never Knew, Part 13, Formal and Informal Prayer. Negate the Naysayers. In my previous post, we detailed several humble, unassuming Christians who were blessed to walk and talk with God. This should come as no surprise to us, for we know that there have been several in history who enjoyed this profound blessing, and that God is no respecter of persons, which means that what he offers to one, he offers to all. Yet there are some, even within our own faith, who denounce, condemn, and mock those facts. They say that they worry when someone is speaking to him in too familiar a way. They say that Heavenly Father's words, his ideas, are not exactly ours. And so the idea of having really a conversation where you're chatting with Heavenly Father is probably a little bit of a lofty goal. They themselves describe their interactions with God as not in what you'd call a conversational mode. They say that in prayer, the way you do that is different than if you just say, I'd like a chat, I want a conversation. These negative concepts do nothing to close and shorten the distance between you and God. They only increase and exacerbate it. Could you ever imagine the Savior saying, sorry, Father and I are so far above you in terms of our powers that, well, we're kind of lofty, so having a conversation with us is pretty tough. He didn't say, don't expect a conversation with us. Absolutely, positively not. He said in Doctrine and Covenants, draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. There are no limits imposed on this command. These distancing comments also fly in the face of facts delivered by the one mortal who knows more than anybody else about interacting with God, Joseph Smith, who said, it is the first principle of the gospel to know for a certainty the character of God, and to know that we may converse with him as one man converses with another, and that he was once a man like us. Speaking about praying to our Father in heaven, Joseph also said, be plain and simple and ask for what you want, just like you would go to a neighbor and say, I want to borrow your horse to go to the mill. Others have said, individuals should converse with Heavenly Father in the same direct, trusting, and sincere manner that they converse with friends and family members. Individuals should approach God in prayer similar to the way they approach their earthly fathers. And regarding the formalities of prayer, please read that BYU Religious Studies article mentioned above. It's interesting. You'll learn that such formalities as thee, thine, thou, were originally informal language when the KJV of the Bible was written. Now, in none of these statements are we told to be irreverent or presumptuous in our relationship with deity. God's friendship and love for us should never be taken for granted, but neither should we increase our distance from him. And how do we draw closer to God? You seek God's will, receive it, and do it without any delay. Repeat. Doctrine Covenants 50:24. That which is of God is light, and he that receiveth light, and continueth in God, receiveth more light, and that light groweth brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Because all worthy endeavors begin and end with prayer, I believe there are two things you can do, which combined thin the veil and your proximity to God. Personal formal prayers. In his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul said, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There it is. God's will, point number one. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks. I'm very confident that during his mortal ministry, the Lord did the same. There were also times when he broke away from his disciples and engaged in a deeper, more intimate form of prayer. Except for the Lord's Prayer, we have no idea what Yeshua said and did in his personal prayers, yet we have some scripturally based precedents. It was likely at least three times a day. In Alma 34:21, Amulek advises us to cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. The prophet Joseph Smith added, you must make yourselves acquainted with those men who, like Daniel, pray three times a day towards the house of the Lord. This may be a reference to Daniel 6:10, which says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. There is evidence that Joseph Smith and his family practiced this teaching. Eliza R. Snow recorded that three times a day he had family worship, and these precious seasons of sacred household service truly seemed a foretaste of celestial happiness. He first knelt, Luke 22:41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. 3 Nephi, and it came to pass that when they had knelt upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and said, Father, I am troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel. And when he had said these words, he himself also knelt upon the earth. And behold, he prayed unto the Father, and the things which he prayed cannot be written, and the multitude did bear record who heard him. And then they may have assumed this posture of deep humility. Matthew 26:39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Also read the section, For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. In my September 6, 2015 post, Alignment Part 1 of 6, Face to Dirt, and my November 8, 2015 post, Alignment Part 3 of 6, Penetrate the Veil. And in so doing, in this state of humility, he came boldly upon the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Next, he may approach God with uplifted hands unto the Most High. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. See my October 11, 2015 post, Alignment 2 of 6, Hands to Heaven, and my November 8, 2015 post, Alignment Part 3 of 6, Penetrate the Veil. Address God, Psalms 28:2. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands towards thy holy oracle. Psalms 5:2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. Psalms 54:2. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Psalms 66:19. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Psalms 86:6. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. See my November 26, 2015 post, Alignment Part 4 of 6, Dialogue with God. And then likely discuss how things were going. Enos 1:4-18 is a summary of the discussion Enos had with the Lord. Bruce D. Porter, Searching Inward, Ensign, November 1971. As you kneel in humility before our Father daily, tell him openly of your progress and also of your fears and doubts. As you draw near to him, he draws near to us. He gives us peace and encouragement. He heals our souls. And reason together, Isaiah 1:18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Doctrine and Covenants 50:10. And now come, saith the Lord, by the Spirit unto the elders of his church, and let us reason together, that ye may understand. Imagine what these fruits would bring about in your life if you did this three times a day, every day. Personal informal prayers. As was also mentioned in the previous post, some people have found it beneficial to not end their formal prayers, but to keep the lines of communication open and with a different level of the Godhead, Yeshua, throughout the day. In these cases, they engaged in a less formal, yet very real, ongoing dialogue with Yeshua. Doctrine and Covenants 6:36. Look unto me in every thought. Alma 34:27. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those around you. Prayer unto who continually? The Lord. With 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18, we see that Paul is saying that there's simply never a time, there's never a circumstance, there's never an aspect of your life that you should not be in conversation with the Lord. It means that there's not an area of your life, there's not a time or a season or a period where you're not regularly, repeatedly turning and bringing your needs to the Lord in prayer. This is probably why Yeshua counseled the 12 disciples and the multitude to pray always. The multitude was told that they should not cease to pray in their hearts. So it is today. As Elder Kevin W. Pearson said, prayer is often a brief communication, but it can also be an open and continuous dialogue all throughout the day and night. Regarding this form of constant prayer, Brother Joseph instructed us, "There are certain characters that walked with God, saw Him, conversed about heaven, and because God is no respecter of persons, we all have the same privilege. Come to God, worry Him until He blesses you, etc. We are entitled to the same blessings, Jesus, revelations, just men and angels, etc., etc. Not laying again the doctrine of Christ, go on unto perfection. Obtain that Holy Spirit of promise, then you can be sealed to eternal life." Elder Henry B. Eyring said, "Only with that faith will we pray with the diligence God requires. When God has commanded us to pray, He has used words like, pray unceasingly, and pray always, and mighty prayer." Elder Francis M. Gibbons also said, "When we are not actually engaged in the formal act of prayer, we should always have a prayer in our heart, wherever we are or whatever we are doing." Now that you know these things, congrats, you may be judged with the information you've now received. I invite you to disregard any statements which increase the distance between you and God. Always remember that God wishes to converse with you as one man converses with another. I also invite you to do what Yeshua and his prophets, both ancient and modern, have advised us to do. Stay in touch with him continually throughout the day. True, there may be times when you're at work and you can't focus on a dialogue with God. There may be times that you're working on homework with kids and you're more focused on algebra than the Almighty. That's perfectly fine. Just get back with him when you can. As you do these things, as you tighten your relationship with Father and Yeshua, you'll hear Father's words to you, and you'll heed them. You'll hear Yeshua's words to you, and you'll heed those too. You'll find them drawing closer to you, because your heart and intentions and hands are in sync with them. And as a result, you'll experience the same fruits as the prophets of old did, in which they parted the veil, conversed with angels, and saw God. We read in John 14:23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Those aren't idle words. They're real. They're literal. As you cultivate these conversations, these connections, both Father and Yeshua will literally take up their abode with you in your home. Ready for the next post in this series?
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say, word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place, please let me stay. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice, word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. Stay and rest in your home.
myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay.